When our consciousness is transparent, we can hear the sound clearly, and it is a seeing sound, as it were, an image sound, or a color sound, or an idea sound, which inseparably links hearing to vision and thought in a single luminous body. All is full, contained in a single vibration. On the intermediary planes, higher mind, illumined or intuitive mind, these vibrations are generally broken up. They become spurts, thrusts, pulsations. Whereas in the over mind, they are vast, self-sustained, self-luminous, like Beethoven's great notes. They have neither beginning nor end. They seem to be born out of the infinite and disappear into it. They do not begin somewhere. They come into the consciousness with a sort of halo of eternity, which vibrates before and continues to vibrate long after, like the echo of another journey behind this one. There is, from Latin, another expression. Thus, this line from Virgil, which Sri Aurobindo quoted as foremost among inspirations of over-mental origin, owes its over-mental quality not to the meaning of the words, but to the rhythm that precedes the words and follows them, as though they were born on a backdrop of eternity, or rather by eternity itself. So too this line by Leopardi, which does not owe its greatness to the meaning, but to that something so subtly more than the meaning which quivers behind it. Sri Aurobindo translated it, the insane and ignoble mystery of things. Or this line from Shakespeare, in the dark, backward and abysm of time. Or from Wordsworth, voyaging through the strange seas of thought alone. And Sri Aurobindo also quoted Rimbaud, millions d'oiseaux d'or, au futur vigueur. Poetry is restored to its true role. It is not to please, but to make the world more real, because more full of the real. Or if you are religious-minded, perhaps we will see the gods who people this world, beings of forces, sounds, lights, rhythms, are just so many true aspects of the same indefinable but not unknowable thing we call God. We have called it God, but temples, built temples, made laws and poems to try to capture a single pulsation that fills us with sunlight, but is free as the high wind on foam-flecked shores. Perhaps we will also enter the world of music, which is not really distinct from the others, but is a special way to translate the same inexpressible great vibration. If once, just once, even for a few minutes in a lifetime, we hear that music, that joy singing above, we will know what Beethoven and Bach heard. We will know what God is because we will have heard God. We will not even use capital letters. We will simply know that that exists and that all the sorrows in the world are redeemed. At the farthest frontiers of the overmind, there are only great waves of colored light, says Mother. The play of spiritual forces, which translate later, sometimes much later, into new ideas, social changes or world events, after they have crossed one by one all the layers of consciousness and have been considerably darkened or distorted on the way. There exist some rare and silent sages here below who can wield and combine these forces and pull them down to the earth, as others combine sounds to write a poem. And they may be the true poets, their existence is a living mantra precipitating the real upon earth. Here end the degrees that Sri Aurobindo ascended alone in his sedentary pore. But we have presented only a few human reflections of these heights. We have said nothing of their essence. Nothing of these worlds as they exist in their glory, indifferently of all our pale translations. We must hear for ourselves, we must see. Calm heavens of imperishable light, illumine continents of violet peace, oceans and rivers of the mirth of God, and griefless countries under purple suns. It's a biography of Sri Aurobindo, so I shall complete this chapter by reading the remaining portion. On May 6, 1909, everyone expected a verdict of capital punishment. He owed his life to two unexpected events. One of the prisoners had betrayed him, denouncing him as the leader of the underground movement. His testimony in court would have meant the death penalty for Sri Aurobindo, but he was shot in the jail by two of the arrested revolutionaries, who were promptly hanged. Then came the last days of the trial, when Sri Aurobindo's lawyer was seized by a sudden illumination, which spread through the entire hall and shook the jury. He had spoken these following words, mantric words: long after he's dead and gone, his words will be echoed and re-echoed, not only in India, but across distant seas and lands. Therefore I say that a man in his position is standing not only before the bar of this court, but before the bar of the High Court of History. Sri Aurobindo was 36. His brother Baryan beside him in the cage was sentenced to the gallows. But Sri Aurobindo was still hearing the voice: remember never to fear, never to hesitate. Remember that it is I who am doing this, not you, nor any other. Therefore, whatever clouds may come, whatever dangers and sufferings, whatever difficulties, whatever impossibilities, there is nothing impossible, nothing difficult. It is I who am doing this. Actually, all that we spoke about the higher mind, illumined mind, intuitive mind, over mind, super mind, where the degrees of consciousness that Sri Aurobindo was crossing at this time, when he was in the jail, he was ascending in all these planes of consciousness. And then, within a year of his acquittal, he ascended into the supermind, crossing even the overmind. So all that Sri Aurobindo described in this chapter that we are reading was actually a description of the experiences that he passed through at that time and then thereafter. There are three more important points to be noted when we come to the end of this. One is a distinction between the overmind and the supermind. Secondly, the difference it makes when the overmind descends and when supermind descends. And thirdly, why supramental descent is inevitable, indispensable, if the problem that the world faces to be resolved. What is the difference between the over mind and the super mind? As you said, I said that over mind is global vision of things. But super mind is what we call comprehensive vision. Not only global vision, but comprehensive vision. While explaining the difference, at one time Sri Aurobindo has said, that overmind vision is something similar to what you have when you stand alone in a dark night. On a very high top of a hill, a large expanse of things can be seen in the darkness, or not seen in the darkness. And wherever you cast your eyes, there is darkness. And therefore you may express your experience by saying, all is dark. But although this statement is true of this experience, it is not really entirely true in the sense that it is true only of the hemisphere on which you are standing. On the lower hemisphere, the sun would be in full splendor. So if you want to see what is supramental consciousness like, it would see both upper hemisphere and the lower hemisphere at the same time. It's a comprehensive consciousness. The watchword of the overmind is multiplicity that arrives at unity. The emphasis in the overmind is on multiplicity. But multiplicity which ultimately is seen to be united. In the supermind, the watchword is unity which manifests itself in multiplicity. Unity is the first vision. Multiplicity is a secondary vision. In the overmind, there is, as it were, a pressure that every element of multiplicity is pushed to its extreme conclusion, so that ultimately it may come to emphasize division. Unity is something that is opposed to division. In multiplicity, there is differentiation. But when you allow each element to arrive at its extreme conclusion, you arrive at what may be called division.